painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
It's that time of year again for Dancecape 2018. Today on Artbeat, we sit down with Hannah Osi, dancer and choreographer, and Andy Glashinsky, one of the lighting designers of the show. Dancecape 2018 is taking place February 15th through the 17th at the Performing Arts Center on the Winona State University campus. I'm Bill Stoneberg with Hannah Osi and Andy Glashinsky, and this is Artbeat. Okay, I'm here with Andy Glashinsky and Hannah Osi. They're in this year's Dancecape 2018. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Just great.
Okay, great. Well, we're here to talk about the WSU Dancecape that's taking place this Thursday through Saturday at the Performing Arts Center on the campus of Winona State University. Can you explain for our listeners a little bit what Dancecape is and how that works?
Yeah.
Sure. So Dancecape is the one production that our dance program has. And we start in September, maybe August some years. And we just start with an audition, and that lasts 2 days. And choreographers, both student and faculty, cast students to be in their piece. And then we work on it from then on. Creating the pieces that we want to showcase in February for Dancecape.
Okay.
And it's a long process, but it's all worth it.
Yeah, so it's a lot of work. You start back in the fall, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
As far as I am one of the lighting designers for these dance pieces, and so my job is I come in basically halfway through the process of the choreographers putting things together, and I'm part of making the final product kind of turn out in a little less time. You know, we don't have as much time as everybody else does. And so we're thrown to the dogs, so to speak. And we just go nuts and try to make these pieces as beautiful as they possibly can be.
Cool. So when do you guys start preparing with the lighting and everything?
We prepare, February, beginning of December, right when we get back from winter break, pretty much is when we hit the ground running and we start coming up with ideas in our heads. We watch, before we even get into the process of designing, we watch the pieces. We see what the mood is, mm-hmm. what the world that we're trying to build with these dances are, and then we move from there.
Okay, cool. Are there any new and exciting things we might expect to see this year, or what can we expect to see out of the dances?
I know which one. I think it's really so this year we have a piece that involves a projection. So there's a piece in the show with a student made design projection going on in the background, and it's actually for her graphic design capstone project.
Okay.
So she's integrating her dance and her graphic design forte and putting it together in a piece. And I haven't seen since my freshman year, I've never seen a piece like that before.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So is that a solo piece for her or?
Actually it's a group piece. She choreographed it. So she has six other dancers, I believe, in the piece. And and so she made the projection herself. She did that all herself.
Cool.
And choreographed the whole piece by herself as well.
Wow. Nice. How about you, Hannah? Anything new and interesting you want to talk about this year?
Well, all the pieces are always different, so I think it's always new and interesting.
Okay.
There's always something new every year.
Cool. So don't miss it, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Excellent. Are there any guest artists or anything like that that are brought in off campus? Or
yeah, we have
two. Well, we have a faculty adjunct professor she taught modern last semester, but she also is choreographed a piece for the show. Her name is Barrett Algren. And so we brought her in, which was an amazing opportunity. And then we also had Olive from Body Cartography come in. And she travels all over the world for her body cartography movement. And she came in and they have a very large cast. I don't know how many people, 10 at least, 12?
Yeah, probably, something like that.
Wow.
It's one of the bigger pieces in the show, and it's very, very different compared to everything else that's in the show.
Yeah, very unique.
It's audience involved at points.
Really?
Yeah. They're things that you would not expect from a dance piece to be in there. It's going to be, I want to say shocking to the audience, but definitely something that they won't expect. Yeah, for sure.
Really?
Thought-provoking is a great term for it, yeah.
Okay. How do they involve the audience then?
There are...
there's going to be a pre-show, yeah.
Yeah, during intermission, there's going to be... I think it's during intermission. During intermission, there's going to be... the dancers are going to come into the audience at points, and there'll be vocal things. They'll talk into a microphone. And yeah, it's going to be really, it's how I describe it is very bizarre, but very interesting and thought provoking.
So very different, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. That sounds great. I like that audience participation thing.
Yeah.
How many dances are there in total?
14?
Yep. 14 dances. There's at least one solo. But for the most part, they're group pieces this year.
There's a duet.
There's a duet, a solo. Yeah. I think that's, quite a few big group pieces this year, I would say. More than
one trio,
in past.
But mostly larger groups.
Right.
Okay. And usually there's more smaller groups and solos. And
yeah, it's usually more dispersed just because that's a lot of people that we have to have on cast, and that's more time commitment for everybody to show up to rehearsal on a regular basis.
Right.
So, I think that this year a lot of time commitment from these dancers this year, that's for sure.
Okay. Is it quite a bit different, or is it more difficult to do the lighting for something like a large group piece then?
Yeah. As far as I'm doing the solo and the duet this year, and then also three other group pieces that I'm designing for.
Okay.
I think as far as approaching a big group piece, it's a lot more difficult because you have a lot more going on stage.
Right.
And you can't necessarily isolate certain people because then you won't be able to see other things that are going on stage. As opposed to a solo, which you can make much more intimate and much more condensed into one big thing.
Okay. What do you think? I've heard dance described as a universal language. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is about dance that makes it such?
Because I think that anybody can interpret anything from it. You know, when choreographers create these pieces, I think they have a thought in mind or a feeling or a story. But I think the amazing thing about dance is that you can create your own story from it. You don't necessarily have to hear what the choreographer intended. You can create your own meaning from the pieces.
Okay.
And a lot of the time the choreographer appreciates that and appreciates hearing other people's interpretations of their own work, because it doesn't necessarily have to be interpreted how they intended it to be.
Okay.
So that's what I think of when I think of it as a universal language.
Cool. Do you have an opinion on that, Andy?
Yeah. As far as I didn't really have a lot of experience with dance when I first came to college.
Okay.
I'd seen typical dance recitals, things, you know,
right.
cousins or whatever, family members mm-hmm. that were in things. And it was never really an artistic thing. It was just more of, you know, they just danced the way they did and that was it.
Do the moves.
Do the moves. Exactly. And Dancescape is much more movement to tell a story. There's usually a background to every piece. It doesn't just happen. They don't just move the way they do because that's how they do it. They're trying to tell you a story, or there's a meaning behind everything that they do on stage. And that's something that, to me, is really interesting and really cool about that kind of art.
Okay. That meaning behind it, does that affect how you light the situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Depending upon the mood that they're trying to set, depends upon colors that you're going to use. For instance, you know, if it's a big sad piece, you're not going to use bright, happy colors. You're going to use sad, depressing, things that make the audience fall into that, what I like to call the world of the piece.
Okay.
It makes you fall into that darkness and sometimes, you know, sad place. Or if it's a really happy piece, it makes, you know, you bring out the happiness that's involved in that world that's going on around the dancers.
Okay, cool. You just kind of draw the audience in then and kind of make them
right.
part of that world.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Hannah, how did you become interested in dance in the first place?
Dance in general?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, when I was like 3, my parents just put me in dance classes.
And oh, wow.
So, Yeah, it just started there, and then I took a few years off, and I started back up again in high school. And then coming to Winona State, I didn't think I'd continue dancing, but I was at the club fair, and they had the sign up for auditions, and I thought, okay, well, why not? Cool. And yeah, I wouldn't be where I am without Dancecape and all the people I've met at dance. So yeah.
Nice. What else do you get out of it then, just besides the satisfaction of dancing?
Well, it is stressful, like when it comes to like these next 2 weeks, okay. But usually it's pretty stress relieving.
Okay.
Because I'm doing something I enjoy and I can take a break from homework or take a break from the outside world kind of, and just go into the studio and have fun with the people I love to dance with.
Cool. And I know you're into the lighting side of things, Andy, but what draws you to do the designing for this show?
So I like lighting design in general, and I'm a theater major, so I typically do theatrical lighting design. Okay. That's kind of what I'm going after and what I'm pursuing as far as a degree goes. And what I love about dance is you're not held back by anything, meaning, you know, in theater, if you have a scene inside, right, you're going to design and put the audience inside, you know, and try your best to make it an inside world. But with dance, you can be much more abstract with what you're doing.
Okay.
You can make it, to me, it's like you're painting something, and you're painting with light. That's the difference.
Okay.
And with Dancecape, you can be much more creative and much more out there and do things and experiment with things that you would never really do in theater.
Okay.
So,
do you get together with the choreographer then and
help design it? It's definitely a collaborative process. The choreographer is sitting next to me the whole time that I'm doing this design, and I'm asking them, you know, what is it that you're going after? I'm asking them questions to try to understand what their vision is for the piece. Because before we even go in, you know, they have an idea for what it's going to look like, and my job is to make it get to that point.
Okay.
Become that vision that they're going after.
Okay. How about you, Hannah? How closely have you choreographed any of the pieces?
Yeah, I choreographed last year, and Andy was my designer last year.
Okay.
My core choreographer and my designer. And this year I choreographed again, and so my lighting designer is Cameron Lawrenston.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're different lighting designers for each piece then?
Yeah. So I have 5 pieces that I'm designing for. Cameron, for instance, is only
This is his first year.
He's doing one piece. We have Gavin Johnson, who's designing one piece. Ella Deerberger's designing 2 pieces. And then we have some faculty designers in there as well as a guest designer as well. So.
Okay, guest designer, huh? Who's
that? Samantha Heaver. She's actually an alumni, and she is designing 2 pieces, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. How did that come about? How do they decide to bring in these guest dancers and guest choreographers? And
I don't know. I don't know how it works for faculty as far as I think because Barrett's teaching other classes here as well. So
yeah, not this semester, but. Yeah,
I think that, you know, they come in, they teach a class, and then they're approached by our director to do a piece for Dancecape, and then that's how they get involved. As far as faculty go, I think the priority is always to get student designers in there and try to experiment, try to get them to go in there and do their best. But then I think, you know, where we need to fill in people, because, you know, I'm doing 5 dances, and 5 dances is a big time commitment as far as outside work goes. And so I can't do more than, you know, 5 or 6, and, you know, all of my time is pretty much gone. So, you really have to split it up and get time with the choreographers. So.
Wow. So it's pretty intense, regardless if you're a lighting designer or a dancer or a choreographer.
Yeah.
Because I know you mentioned, Hannah, that you start preparing in the fall, so that's quite a big commitment there.
It is. And you have to know what you're getting yourself into, and we have a whole list of the schedule right away, so dancers, choreographers, everyone knows what they're getting into, and so they can be involved in the process as much as possible.
Okay. You've choreographed one piece in this year's Dancecape?
Yes.
Okay. How long does it take to choreograph that before you get the dancers in and start working with them?
It's definitely like a process that you need the dancers for. Like, you can have an idea of what you want, and you can have movement ready and ready for the audition, but the dance is always changing. So at each, we have feedback showings. So at each feedback showing, we show what we have so far. You know, in the beginning, it's a so far thing. And then later in the process, it's this is what we have. This is my whole piece. And then we get feedback from our director, Gretchen Cohenauer, and from our peers and from different faculty, we get feedback. And then from there, we can change our piece. And it's always for improvement. It's never changing it to be worse. Like, why would you change it to be worse? But it's always good feedback. Like, the feedback you get always makes it better. So it's always changing from the beginning.
They're not trying to change your dance and say, well, don't do that.
Yeah,
do this.
They're always trying to make it better.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a process where, you know, you come in day one and you look at the dance and for me, I watch the dance day one and it's like, okay, that's interesting. And by the final day, it can be something completely different.
But evolve from that one idea.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. So you'll notice pieces start off with an idea and they have this movement. And then as they get feedback and progress, they'll take things out, they'll add things, they'll change things around in the hope that each time it gets better and better and better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or they'll even take feedback, and sometimes the feedback doesn't work at all, and so you try it, and you show it, and then people say, nope, that didn't work, so then you try again, and you change it.
Wow. Yep. So how many feedback sessions do you have, then?
At first semester, there's one feedback session, and then we audition our pieces to be in the show. Okay. So every piece that auditioned this year made it into the show. Then we have another feedback showing, so we show our pieces 3 times first semester. Now back, second semester, we've had a run-through, so showing our pieces every week about.
Every Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Every Sunday, and now our first tech was last Thursday, and so now we're in the deep end. We are showing every single day and running through every single day. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, so that's really intense workload there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
What do you... this is probably more for you, Hannah, but what do you enjoy most about dancing? I know you mentioned it's a release, mm-hmm. you know, when you're not stressed about, you know, putting on the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, what else is it about dance that drew you to it?
It's so expressive and free that you can do anything with it. And I didn't used to know that. You know, Andy talked about how at recitals and stuff, it's just movement. And then you go out there, you dance, and then you go off. And it doesn't really mean anything. You're just moving. And that's how I used to think of dance. So when I came here, it was definitely different. And it took me a few months even to get used to it. But now I view dance as so much more than just moves.
Okay.
And it's a way to express yourself and a way to tell a story, as Andy was saying earlier. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. So, I mean, you mentioned it being free and things like that. What types of, are there different types of dance in the show? Like, say, I mean, I don't know a lot about dance, but say like ballet as opposed to some sort of free form.
Yeah.
Are there different types in the show then?
It's, we're a mostly modern-based school, so there's a lot of modern in there, but my piece is more theatrical, so it's theater and dance kind of combined. Last year, I was in a piece called Steam Heat, which was choreographed by Bob Fosse. He's a very famous choreographer, and we just did reimagination.
Okay,
I don't know the correct term for it, but so we just took his choreography and redid it and credited him. So that was jazz. So there can be a mix, and I think this year it's mostly modern based.
It's mostly modern, yeah.
But
your piece has different forms of dance interspersed throughout it.
Yeah, with a little bit of theater.
Yep.
And then there's another piece that's kind of more theatrical, Courtney Harm's piece.
Yep.
Her pieces are usually more theatrical, but mostly modern, yeah.
Okay, cool. What does it take? You know, you said you've been dancing since the age of 3, right? What does it take to become a good dancer? You know, you mentioned also that it changed when you came to college here.
I think the openness for feedback and the openness to learn new things.
Okay.
Because we also have a dancer. Her name is Callie Hartsock. She came from a studio, and she was very ballet-based, very talented ballerina, but coming to Winona, she has improved her overall dancing because she has the openness to learn more about modern and
okay.
different things. So she's become a better dancer just because of that.
Okay, so just be open to learning more and improving that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, speaking of that, Ken, I'm not much of a dancer myself, you know. what does it take to become a good dancer? Like, can anyone learn it? Because yeah. I feel like I'm kind of hopeless when it comes to dancing.
No, everyone, listen to Andy.
Yeah, so I last semester took a dance class for the first time in my entire life. I took Jazz 1. And I had no idea what I was getting into.
Uh-huh.
And I knew I had a few friends from Dancecape that were going to be in the class. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to be with them. And it was difficult to, you know, it was a difficult thing to do. First of all, to move in certain ways that you're not used to moving.
Right.
But there's also a great benefit as far as physical well-being goes. It's a workout. Every single class is a workout. And, that was something that blew my mind as far as how athletic, how in shape these people really are. These dancers work out all the time, and they're in the best shapes of their lives, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Hannah, do you work out outside of dance, or is dance enough to keep you up to speed?
Yeah, I actually teach a fitness class at the IWC. I teach dance fitness. Actually,
oh, cool.
So yeah, I do work out occasionally besides teaching dance fitness, but dance fitness is usually what I rely on.
Okay, dance fitness. So you're dancing and then with the goal of becoming
more Andy
shape,
actually took a step out of his comfort box for that too and came to my class. So
yeah, okay. It's dance and a fitness course all in one.
Cardio,
honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a killer. It'll kick you in the butt, that's for sure.
Cool. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, this whole dancing, the Dancecape 2018, everything. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see people take away from the audience, you know, from this year's Dancecape?
I always tell my friends or anybody who's coming that tells me, oh, I'm going to come and support you. I tell them, all right, just come in with an open mind. And as long as you're feeling something as you're watching a piece, it's doing its job.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, take away anything. Yep. Literally, if you're uncomfortable, just acknowledge that you're uncomfortable during a piece. And that's what it's supposed to do. Or if that made you laugh. If it makes you laugh, laugh out loud. It's even if you don't feel like it's supposed to make you laugh, laugh because it's making you feel something.
I think every year I tell my friends to come to Dancecape, and every year I reiterate that this is a piece of art. So come in with an open mind and just enjoy what you're watching. Just sit there and take it all in. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to react while it's going on.
No,
but as long as it gets you to think about something, it doesn't even matter what it is. But you watch it and you walk out of the theater thinking, well, that was really cool. Or, you know, this piece really made me think. But this one, and maybe, you know, you don't like every single piece. That's totally understandable. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. I have ones that I know that I prefer over others.
Yeah.
And that's just personal taste. But every time I walk out of there, I think, you know, what does this piece say? What is the message here? What's the point, you know?
Okay.
So.
Cool. Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Like I said earlier, it's Dancecape 2018 is this Thursday through Saturday at the Performing Arts Center here on the campus at Winona State. What are the show times?
7:30 p.m. every night.
Yep. Every night.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. And how can people get tickets? Is there a website or something like
there
that
is.
They can go to?
There is.
Yeah. WSUArtsTickets.com.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Or you can, the box office will be open.
Yep. 1-4 every day.
Yeah. But it is pretty easy to just go online and order your tickets there. $6 for students, $12 for general admission.
Okay. Well, I've been here with Andy Glashinsky and Hannah Osi. And Andy's a lighting designer and Hannah's a dancer and choreographer. So WSU Dancecape takes place this Thursday through Saturday, February 15th through 17th at the Performing Arts Center here on campus of Winona State University. Okay, great. Well, thanks for being with us today, guys.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks again to Andy Glashinsky and Hannah Osi for joining us today on Artbeat. More information on showtimes and tickets for Dancecape 2018
can be found at WSUArtsTickets.com. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and you've been listening to ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.